We on? Now then, Ray Winston here. The real one. Close enough. Doing a new podcast with me mate Tony. Soprano, that is.
Oh, how you doing?
Talking all the big stuff. Birds, scraps, films.
And of course, men's mental health. With studio guests such as arch feminist and top broad Deborah Francis White and disgraced scumbag comedian Dapper Laughs.
Something for everyone. We're trying to be better men, ain't we, Tone?
That's right. We're bad boys done good.
Available on YouTube and to download on all good audio platforms. Go on, get off your hands, you dopey c***.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the nation's favourite podcast, Insane in the Membrane.
Insane in the Membrane.
But before we get into it, don't forget our live podcast in Southend this coming Sunday. Unless, of course, you're listening to this later on, and in which case this Sunday has probably been and gone, and you missed out, and you would have missed out on something absolutely brilliant. But anyway, get your tickets by clicking the link in the episode description. So, here we go. And I should warn you, this is not for the squeamish, this episode. Our guest this week has been through it a bit through his entire life. He's very graphic in his telling of his story. And we had a laugh about it. You know, he's got a very dark sense of humour, our guest this week. That's what he uses to get through it. So, a miracle of medical science, and they didn't always get it right, and you'll hear all about that in the episode. So I sat down this week at the wonderful Smoke and Mirrors in one of my favourite cities, Bristol. Thank you to the guys at Smoke and Mirrors for letting us use the back room. So let's get into it. Ladies and gentlemen, everyone, please welcome Daryl Hembra. Here we are at Smoke and Mirrors in Bristol, just before we do our Edinburgh preview tonight. My man here, Daryl
Hembra.
Hembra, and you're from Bristol. I do remember seeing you. I remember just seeing you come in, and I'm like, I wonder what that guy's story is. Because he's got some impressive scars.
Yeah.
And when you see someone with impressive scars like that, I always think, wow, what's the story behind that? What happened there? And it's like you've got, and then talking to you this year, straight away, you were just chatting away like we'd known each other ages.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I'm like, this is amazing. And then you bless you, you'd listen to the podcast, and then it was like, he's like, I was like, yeah, come on, man, come and have a chat. And here you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you're doing comedy now. How long have you been doing that?
It's about a year in February.
Yeah.
It was. So 22nd, 23rd of February.
Okay.
So it was about a year.
Yeah, right. And are you enjoying it?
Yeah, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
I enjoyed it from the start. Took like, I don't know, October, November off, sort of.
Yeah.
Did this next act Christmas special in Bristol.
Yeah.
Where me and my friend Greg Winfield did each other's jokes.
Oh, right. I can't wait. You swapped material.
Yeah.
Right.
Which is difficult for him to do because all mine's about me.
Yeah. do you talk about what's...
Yeah, yeah, I talk about how I look and
yeah,
conditions and stuff.
Yeah, right.
And that went really well.
Brilliant.
And I thought I want to get back up on stage.
Yeah.
So eventually, come the new year, I did.
Brilliant. You're also a model as well, aren't you?
Yes, I am.
How mad is that? You're getting into...
I know, yeah. It's nuts.
So what? So what's the story then, Daryl? What's your story? What happened, mate? Because you're a very impressive looking dude.
What happened?
Yeah.
Was.
And I'm sorry if that's a crass way of asking. Question.
What happened is that I was born.
Okay, it's a good start.
Yeah, and I was born with a condition called Pfeiffer syndrome.
Okay, what's that?
It's a condition where the bones in the head and other places are fused together.
Right.
So as I grew up, as I got older, the skull didn't grow.
Right.
But obviously the brain did.
Okay.
So they had to do the growing of the skull for me. So go in there and knock it about and
really
rebuild it. Yeah. And then, so that I had that done about 8 times as I grew.
Wow.
That's the main scar from ear to ear.
Yeah.
And
it's a doozy as well. So great scar, it's great, man.
And then I also have and had lots of other conditions.
Right, okay.
Which weren't necessarily connected with the Pfeiffer syndrome, no. Which is rare in itself.
Right, yeah. I remember when my eldest son was at school, there was a young lad, Alex, that is in his class, and his skull, when he was born, his skull was the wrong way around.
Ow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So sort of a similar
kind of stuff, yeah. There's I dealt with the craniofacial support group as a child.
Okay.
And within their list of things that they deal with, there's hundreds of different things.
Really?
And mine's one of the rarest.
Yeah. And what's it called again?
Pfeiffer syndrome.
So that's
Pfeiffer.
And that's really rare.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what's the name of the support group you were just part of?
Craniofacial Support Group.
Right.
I think it's now called Headlines.
Okay. Made it more punchy.
As you do.
Yeah.
But that's just some of my conditions.
But you haven't let them hold you back. I mean, like, say comedy, never, modelling, acting.
You're not, done a bit of extras work.
Yeah. You're not fucking about.
No. Since doing the comedy, I just say yes to most things.
Yeah. And that's incredible that you've not let any of this hold you back. You've just got stuck in and gone, fuck it.
No, yeah. It's nice.
Amazing, mate. Absolutely amazing.
I
don't mean to sound patronising, so I'm not being a prick.
You are, though.
See, that's something else as well. The other day when we were talking online and I put that picture up, I had Spencer Jones's ping pong ball eyes in. And then you look like you're mocking me. Now we've only met properly
and I
once.
I sent you that picture.
Yeah.
And then
I was like,
me and Grant Cherokee. Yeah.
Yeah. And I said to my Mrs. Jade, I'm like, oh God, have I upset him? She went, no, he's fucking about. And then you sent me the picture. Yeah. Oh, thank fuck for that. I'm not saying that.
We should have said yeah.
Yeah, yeah, cool. Yeah, it's insensitive.
But no, it's good.
So that was when you were, that was when you were born, like that?
Yeah, born with that.
Yeah. So straight away when you were born?
The bit my mum noticed was my big toe on my right foot. She knew from that I had something wrong.
Really?
And I've even had that big toe surgery on it.
Really? What was different about your toe?
I had an extra bone in the right-hand side of my toe. So as my toe grew, it pushed against the other toe and went outwards.
Oh, shit.
So what they did is they took they cut that bit of bone out.
Yeah.
And so shortened it and straightened it.
Okay.
And put a screw in.
Right.
And I think only last year I had that screw removed.
Yeah, really?
It was causing me jip.
Yeah, of course it was.
Massive screw, mind.
Was it?
Yeah. I said to
was
them,
it one for B&Q?
I sat there and I watched it up. I watched it get unscrewed.
Oh my God.
Because I like it. and I said to the surgeon, oh, you're going to just literally unscrew it? And he went, yeah.
I just unscrewed
and
it
he
out.
He just had a surgical steel screwdriver, like posi drive, just unscrewing it. And I saw it come out. And it was about twice the length of my toe.
Fuck me.
Which
have you kept it, make it into a necklace?
He wouldn't let me.
Really? It's yours.
Apparently the NHS got to incinerate it.
Oh, really?
Because I might, like, catch it, I don't know.
Fuck's sake. Yeah, that would have been a great necklace.
I was going to try and find an equivalent kind of screw.
Yeah.
And maybe, like,
have it.
Turn that into a necklace or something.
Yeah, it would have been fucking great.
Put some blood on it.
I watched. So you've got a dark sense of humour is what I'm gathering.
Yeah.
Especially for what you were telling me earlier.
But I watched that be done and that was, even the nurses are like, do you want to watch? I was like, yeah.
So you enjoy all that?
Yeah.
So what was you said you had other conditions?
Obviously you've heard me speak. Because.
Sounds sexy.
Yeah,
that's what you were telling me.
It fucking is. basically, when I was about 8, 9,
right.
somewhere around, for example, I can't remember for sure when it was.
You were a young kid.
Yeah, I was a young kid, and I had a lot of breathing troubles.
Okay.
So eventually, the old children's hospital in Bristol.
Yeah.
On St. Michael's Hill, I spent a lot of time there.
Okay.
And due to my breathing troubles, they gave me a tracheostomy.
Okay.
In the neck.
Basically,
help me breathe.
Yeah.
Or, as I say, actually...
Actually breathe.
Breathe. And when I had that, I think it was a really small tube. The smallest they could possibly use.
Right, because you were so young.
Because I was, my airway at the time was like too small. And
So what, were you rushed to hospital? Or
I think so. Yeah. I was either that or I was already in there.
Okay.
Comatose. And when I had that, basically I'm telling you my stand-up routine without the punchlines, all right? And when I had the trachee, my airway was so bad it collapsed.
Right, okay.
So the surgeons were obviously worried.
Of course.
As was my parents, and not me, because I was out of it.
You were out of it, yeah.
So
you don't remember any of it?
Not really. I remember the good bits.
I was enjoying
myself and stuff. They didn't know what to do. They went around the country to different specialists, and a lot of those didn't know what to do.
No.
And then Great Ormond Street Hospital got involved.
Okay.
And they said they would do something.
Yeah, right, okay.
They're not the only ones.
Mm.
So I got shipped off to Great Ormond Street. And to cut a long story short, what they did was they got some of my ribs.
Yeah.
Used those ribs, so whether it's the bones or the cartilage or whatever, to rebuild my airway.
Right, okay.
So,
wow.
So they did it. And because it's my cartilage, my bones.
Yeah.
It grows to me. It sticks to me. So they did that, and they said that I may never speak again.
Wow! And this was because, at 9 years old,
because of the collapse of the airway. Obviously, the vocal cords are affected.
Mm.
The breathing's affected. All of it.
Yeah.
So afterwards, I had speech and language therapy for a bit, and I had an amplifier to help with my voice.
Oh, what, like one of those boxes?
Yeah, it's just a microphone on a little box, speaker or whatever. And I started speaking. So when I started speaking, no one ever said anything other than, he's speaking great. Mm. And so we assumed that because they said I would never speak, I'd probably never speak again.
Yeah.
we assumed that the things that help you speak, the vocal cords, have had a bit of, they recuperated. They fixed a bit.
Yeah.
And so just thought nothing of it. About 4 years ago, I was at home doing something, and I did think something was, I wondered if there was any exercise I could do for the voice that I have.
Yeah.
But there was something going on.
Yeah. So up until 4 years ago, you weren't...
You couldn't really speak? I was doing this.
Okay.
What I'm doing now, but we didn't know why.
Okay.
And so I went back to the, I went to the GP and told him that I was struggling and it dries out quite quickly and things like this. Hence the glass of water that I've got by the side of me. And he said, oh, well, I'll send you back to the ear, nose and throat clinic. I just expected to go in, see a specialist and go, just whatever. But I walked in the room, well, saying that, I got called in the room. My dad stayed in the waiting room.
Yeah.
Because there was really no room in the specialist room. And I walked in, and the woman that called me in was a speech and language therapist.
Okay.
And there were like four or five other people in the room, other speech and language therapists, the specialist, the surgeon, all of it. And at first I was like, I didn't expect this much.
No.
But I'm thinking now, they must have looked at my notes and gone, ah. So I sat down and they got the long camera, which they stick in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They stick in holes of humans. So they stuck it on my nose and goes up and down the airway.
Yeah, I've had that. It's horrible.
And I actually quite like it.
You're fucking weird. You like that sort of thing.
And I watch the screen with it on my stuff.
Oh, what?
Great, I love it.
You love all that. I think I saw, they showed me something when they were doing it to me. But
you see all the,
it's just the feeling of it going up, it's horrible.
It shows you that when it's finished, you know where to stick your finger and get the boogers. Or the tweezers and get the hairs.
Get right up there.
Because you've seen it?
Yeah, of course, yeah. I bet you were going, oh, it's a big one up there.
Yeah, and I'm there, and eventually they took the, I think I was a bit uncomfortable this time around because I wasn't at ease with it.
So it was hurting a bit more this time.
Yeah, like gagging a bit.
Yeah.
And they took the camera out. And eventually, I looked at everyone and they were, apart from maybe the specialist, they were, I don't know, gobsmacked.
Yeah, right. What had they seen?
The thing is, they had seen nothing.
Okay.
Because there's nothing there to see. So what they should have seen was vocal cords.
Yeah.
And what they saw was no vocal cords.
There's nothing there.
They're so swollen, they're basically not working.
Okay.
So I'm just talking hot air, pretty much. What? And that's what they said. And I'll tell you now, they told me this, and one of the speech and language therapists ran out of the room.
Right.
Remembering that my dad was in the waiting room.
Yeah, right, okay.
She ran across the waiting room.
Yeah.
To the speech and language therapy department.
Yeah.
And she went there to get the model of the body, the human body.
Yeah,
of all the insides.
Yeah.
And she ran back, me not knowing at this time.
And you're just sat there this whole time, like, what the fuck's going on?
While they're talking to me. And not knowing at this time that my dad was in the waiting room, nervous as hell because he knew her because she called me in.
Yeah, yeah.
To see her running across the room.
Well, she just remembered.
Running back while she was getting this model of the human body. So she comes back and she puts it in front of me and goes, "You see those vocal cords?" And I went, "Yeah." She took them out of the model and went, "You ain't got them."
What? So what?
She said, "That's technically what you've not got it."
So even the stuff that they, when they took the cartilage and stuff to rebuild your...
It rebuilt my airway. So I've got the capacity to breathe to an extent.
Yeah.
But obviously you can't rebuild vocal cords.
No.
And
you said they've become so swollen that you can't...
Yeah, well, like one of them's really swollen and it's just not doing anything. So technically they may as well not be there.
So how are you...
So it's easier just to say I have no vocal cords. Yeah. Because technically that's what I have or not have.
So how the fuck...
They said I use my diaphragm.
Okay.
So I say, for an example, if you think of... Say for like Pavarotti, and other opera singers and stuff, classical singers, they use their diaphragm to get the power through, and it extends their vocal cord power and stuff like that. Whereas I'm doing that, but I haven't got the vocal cords to extend it. So,
but you're still able to speak and communicate and.
So
you don't
it
know.
It sounds funny, I'm just talking on air. Cause,
how did you feel about when they told you this? When they said, you haven't got any vocal cords? What did you
think?
Feel?
I was
did you feel?
Overwhelmed, I think.
Yeah,
I told
I can
people,
imagine.
I'm one to advertise it.
Mm.
So, I mean, I say this on stage because it's cheesy, but I honestly can't think of another way of saying it. I was speechless.
For fuck's
but
sake.
You get my drift. I didn't.
You just
know,
didn't say anything.
I couldn't, didn't know what to.
Wow, man, that's amazing.
But
and here you are on a podcast chatting.
Yeah, I suffered quite a bit of depression. I didn't realise until like. A year or so ago that I did.
Yeah.
And eventually my GP just went, "Are you depressed?" And I went, "Seems like it." Because I had my head in my hands on his desk.
Yeah, right. And what was the first, was it like the usual signs of depression? Or like when you know?
I had it for like 10 years and I didn't know.
Yeah. I think a lot of people.
And I don't think you know until a specialist goes,
yeah,
you're depressed. I had what's it called? The cognitive behavioural.
Oh yeah, I know. Yeah.
Sum up.
Is it CBT they call that?
CBT therapy. That's it. And
so you were depressed.
So I had that, and I kind of realised why I was depressed, mostly and all that. But I still have bouts, very little bouts. I'm on medication, but the voice thing does get to me sometimes.
Yeah, right. When you have to keep, because like you say, you don't. It just happens. You're not making an effort.
Yeah,
but
someone.
Does it hurt?
Yeah, it can do.
Yeah,
it can be quite bad.
And then when it dries out as well.
The speech and language therapist said, basically. Try and enunciate stuff better.
Okay.
Which I think I'm doing.
Very well, yeah. Better than me.
She said, if you say something to the best of your ability at that time, and the person that you're speaking to doesn't hear you, and you feel that you cannot repeat yourself, don't.
Yeah, well, okay.
It's there, just don't.
Yeah.
So, and that's harder than you think.
I can imagine,
Because I wear hearing aids because I'm deaf.
Yeah.
So the hearing aids, there's even troubles with that. The hearing aids just enhance the hearing that you have.
Okay.
It's not like I'm fully deaf and they're making me hear. I am technically deaf to an extent, and the hearing aids just enhance it.
Mm.
And people people don't seem to know how to deal with it because they can pick up too much.
Yeah, right.
And the amount of people that I say something and they can't hear me, and eventually I'm just like, you know what? Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Wow.
And then they get, oh, well, go on.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
I'm done.
And does that affect, that must affect you?
It affects my brain. It affects my, because that's hard work.
Yeah, of course it is.
And it's like, people that I know can have, some people have a constant volume control on their voice.
Mm.
Like, if their voice was a volume control, it would just be up and down constantly. Yeah. They're bellowing when they don't need to. They're whispering when they don't need to. And they're just like, just, whoa. Just deal with it. Just, like, talk to me.
Yeah.
Talk to me. Look at me and talk to me.
Yeah, got you.
Don't walk out of the room.
No.
Into the kitchen and then,
because then you can't
shout. And I'm just sat there going,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. So you, you have to see faces when you're talking to the person.
Not necessarily see faces, but to have someone like me and you are here, right, like literally a foot away.
Yeah.
And I found a brochure from the hearing assessment that describes what deaf people need.
Okay.
And I try and put that out. People, like what I just said, like sat right, just look at them.
Yes.
Don't stand right next to them and shout.
No.
Or whatever. Just,
because that's the other thing as well. When people find out that you're deaf, I imagine they up the volume a
but
bit
they
and
don't
speak
think
slowly.
I'm deaf because I've got hearing aids.
Of course. And that's the thing, like, these people don't understand about hearing aids. Yeah.
It only enhances what I've got. It's not. I'm not hearing like you.
You're not hearing more.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my brother's got hearing aids. He's got little buds. I mean, he used to have in the 70s, he said those big old boxes on a belt on the front.
Yeah, yeah.
And they'd whistle when you got too near the telly, you know, that sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, technology now, he's got these little buds that he has. Yeah. But, yeah, I even, you know, that's my brother. He's never told me how hearing aids work.
It's hard to do it because a lot of people are there and gone in a flash, or got problems themselves.
Yeah.
But it's difficult because you've got to teach everybody, and not everyone's teachable.
No,
you can't teach everyone.
So the other side of it as well, people are scared to ask questions as well.
Oh,
I guess.
God, that does my head in.
Because they don't want to offend you.
Years ago, I've had people, they're either scared to ask questions or very few ask questions.
Yeah.
I had someone who was training to be a paramedic,
right,
who kind of knew me from seeing.
Yeah.
And she wanted to know. So she went out to a friend of mine, asked them what's up.
Mm.
He said, go and talk to him.
Yeah.
He came up to me and said, she's training to be a paramedic. She wants to know what your story is.
Mm.
Would you mind if she spoke to you? And I said, no, not at all. I'll tell her.
Yeah, brilliant.
I mean, I.
Yeah.
If you don't ask, you don't know.
No.
And I never heard from her.
Oh, really?
And this is like, just.
Yeah. Well, this is.
If
like,
you don't ask, you don't
get. Well, this is it. When we got talking the last time I saw you, briefly.
Yeah.
And then we connected online and you know, there was a bit of back and forth. And then you were like, I want to, you know.
You were so trying to offend me, weren't you?
I did. I was trying. I really wanted to know.
Trying to make it unintentional.
People that know me know I wouldn't do that. But it does make me laugh. You have a dark sense of humour about it. And you would say, because there was that thing and you were going, I think you're mocking me. And I'm like, I'd never do that. And then you said, well, when we get to know each other, you will. I imagine we will.
Yeah.
But you say you've got a sense of humour that gets you through. But that's
I wanted to know what your story was. I mean, you ask my friends, like within the comedy circuit, they know that I thrive off of them taking the mick out of me.
Yeah, right.
Even the other day at the This Next Act, my friend Craig Winfield went on stage. He was the last act of the night. And he feeds off of the audience and talks to the audience and stuff. And he said something, and I think it was something about his age. And he said, who else is it, 32 in the audience? And I went, yeah. And obviously he knew me, and he took the mick out of me. A lot of the people in the audience didn't know that he knew me.
Yeah, right, okay.
And then eventually he went, so he said something, and he went, because I some of the jokes I've got are kind of from him, and he, about my image, the way I look, and I love it. And he brought me on stage just so people could see who he was mocking.
Yeah.
And I happily went on stage with a big smile on my face. And I purposely put my hood down just so everyone can see the point. And I love it. And my mate George Willoughby was just like, yeah, you dealt with that really well.
Yeah, you've got such a great attitude
towards
it all, considering what you've been through and what a life you've had. You've had so much to deal with, and yet you don't let it get you down.
I mean,
you get, like I say, you don't let it get down. That's not what I mean, but you're always.
I try not to.
You seem to be pushing ahead despite, because depression can be debilitating, can't it? You can, you know, there's, and it, you know, a lot of time it comes for no reason. Like you know, a lot of it, you go, I get it, and I had psychotherapy. And it was, and that's when my therapist said, he goes, you're clinically depressed. You haven't dealt with this, and this, and it's still getting you down. So, because I'd be lying there going, I can't understand what's going on. Everything's fine. I mean, I've been, the last couple of years, I've been through a bit of shit, but I feel I'm at the other side now. But I still get times I'm lying on the bed and I can't move because I'm like, what's the fucking point? You know what I mean?
Well, that's, it's like we were saying earlier, like, everyone goes through either the same or similar.
Yeah.
But like I said, everyone deals with it differently.
Yeah. Do you do anything like sort of physically to sort of get yourself out of it or?
Just try and sit back and think.
Yeah.
Really. I mean, with the modelling I do.
Yeah.
And I do it quite often actually. Like life and even just things like that.
Yeah.
Life modelling, portrait modelling, photography.
Yeah.
And that can be quite therapeutic. So that can be quite, so meditative.
Nice.
But I've never actually done meditation.
No.
So I'm looking to maybe just try and get into,
try
and get away, not necessarily get away physically from everything, but mentally. Get away in my mind from everything.
We interrupt this podcast to remind you to join Insane in the Membrane live this Sunday. That's Sunday, the 23rd of June at the Southend Comedy Festival with special guest Bobby Mair. Click the link in the podcast description. Also, just quickly, forgot to mention, on Monday, the 24th of June, I should be at 2 North Down doing an Edinburgh preview of my new show, Death Becomes Him. It starts at 8:15. So get yourselves down. It'd be great to see you. Have a laugh. Cheers.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Your positivity is inspiring. Since I've met you, and only briefly, you're like, you were chatting away to me when we first met. And I felt like I'd known you ages.
I mean, really, we only met like a few weeks ago.
Yeah, but it was like I'd known you a long time. And then chatting online, and now we're here.
Yeah, you mocking me online.
Stop fucking saying that. You've had so much to deal with in your life.
Yeah.
Because you've had other things as well, conditions and
stuff. I've liver problems. Right. Basically,
is it all connected or not? Is it not? No.
Basically, I had a condition, varices, which is to do with the liver.
Okay.
And basically, varices is what you get as if you're literally a raging alcoholic.
Okay.
But I was a child, so I didn't know.
You had the liver of an alcoholic, even though you were a child.
Basically, yeah. So that they had to sort the varices out. So they banded my liver to sort those out. And then I had to have a liver bypass.
Holy shit. So they opened you up from chest.
Yeah, chest.
Chest to navel.
Just above my belly button.
And then above your, Jesus.
And basically, this was Birmingham Children's Hospital.
Okay.
In the city centre. What they were going to do was the bypass was basically between my liver and my spleen, is it?
Yeah.
There was no blood flow.
Okay.
So the blood would go in to my spleen and not come out. So whatever. So what they were going to do was they were going to use a foreign body or an alien body, as they call it, or whatever, which was a vein.
Okay.
To make the flow between the liver and the spleen. And when they'd done that, they would have had to have gone in as I grew up.
Okay.
And changed it.
Right.
Because it's not me, so.
No.
But when they went in, the surgeon, Dr. Jean de Ville de Goyer, he was great, French, as you can probably tell, lives in like a Adams family house.
Oh, nice.
He's now a specialist in the Vatican Children's Ward.
Is he?
Yeah, amazing. He was so good. What he did was when he went in, they found an unused umbilical vein.
What?
So the umbilical cord.
Yeah, yeah.
Got all the veins and stuff.
Right.
There was an unused vein there. And they were like, oh, we'll use that. So they used that. And they told us. So now, then that meant that they didn't have to go in every now and then.
No.
Every so many years or whatever. Because it's mine, isn't it? It just grew to me.
Yeah.
Like with the ribs in my neck.
Yeah.
I love saying I got ribs in my neck.
Old neck ribs.
Yeah. Someone said something the other day, I was like, you got different. They said, jokingly, he said, oh, I got. It's like having different Mr. Potato Head or something, having different parts of you in different places.
Yeah, yeah, moving it around.
And I'm like, yeah, well, I've got the back of my head and my nose. That's another thing.
What?
The back of my head and my nose. I got the ribs, I got my ribs in my airway. So basically they did, I'll tell you the nose bit in a minute.
Yeah, what the fuck?
So they didn't have to go back in so often to change the vein.
Yeah, right.
And that was also either the first procedure of that type or one of the, I think it was more than likely the first procedure of that type.
So there's a lot of people have written papers about you.
Me, yes.
Because it is one off.
My x-rays have been in many different countries, France especially.
Really?
So they didn't know, they wouldn't know if it had worked.
Okay.
Until like 10 years after the surgery.
Right.
So I'd go back for ultrasound scan every year and they just check to see if it's, and it's fine. I'm not an alcoholic anymore. Even though I do drink.
You knocked it on the head when you were 9.
Yeah.
Well, let's go back. You dropped a fucking bomb in the middle of that
nose line. Thing. Yeah,
what do you mean, your nose, back of your head?
When I was born, I had no bridge on my nose. So it's basically a button nose.
Yeah.
Probably to do with all the...
So your skull wasn't formed properly. So they had to go in and rebuild your skull.
My skull was formed properly. It was just fused together.
Okay.
So I didn't have the soft spots.
Got you. Oh, I see. Sorry. Right.
And I've got all the bits now. I've got metal plates and screws. And also with the surgery, obviously with the amount of surgery I've had with the skull, I say, if you think about it, my skull is like a globe jigsaw. Do you know what a globe jigsaw is?
Yeah.
But every time you do it, it gets bigger.
Right. Yeah.
I mean, they've stopped that now because I've stopped growing and stuff.
So now that's it. There was no more need for surgery.
Not really, no. Some of it's cosmetic.
Yeah.
I've got the back of my head that I've got in my nose to give me a nose.
So they took a bit of the back of your head off?
Yeah, like the cartilage and stuff, put it in my nose to give me a nose. Because it was basically just a button nose. I've had so many looks in my life. And that's nothing to do with fashion. I say I've looked like a pug. I've also looked like a chihuahua with hydrocephalus. Which, if you watch Noel Fitzpatrick, Supervet, I looked at this chihuahua on there with hydrocephalus, which is another thing that I've got.
What's hydrocephalus? You've mentioned that before.
I think
actually,
it's like pressure on the brain and stuff.
Right.
If you go and look at this chihuahua with hydrocephalus, basically from the nose up, I look like that.
Right.
But I've also looked like a cross between the chihuahua with hydrocephalus and the pug.
Right.
So I'm happy.
So you look like Ren Anston. You look like Ren Anston, Pete.
Yeah. So I'm happy with that because they're quite cute. So.
Yeah. I think you're an impressive looking dude.
And then there were sometimes I look quite baby-like rather than baby cross.
Well, now you've shaved your beard off.
Yeah.
You look all angelic and young, don't you?
Apparently I'm more approachable.
So there's pressure on the brain and is that fluid or?
That's too much pressure on the brain. Yeah, that's why I've got the shunts.
Okay.
You see the little mushroom bits on my head.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Got you. Right.
Well, basically it pumps the excess fluid out, which was too much. If I didn't have them, I'd be dead.
So those bumps, they're pumping?
They're Meyers on the front, and I got shunts on the back. And basically, the Meyers is what they test for the pressure.
Okay.
And the tubes go into my brain, into the shunts, at the back of my head, and then out of my shunts and down and into my body. So I...
Right, it pumps it into your body?
In other words, I go and piss out.
Like a drain pipe?
Yeah.
Yeah, right.
And they can block, and they have blocks, and they tried me on one shunt, but I can't do it.
No, you need two.
Yeah. Basically.
Fuck, man.
So there's that. I've got, with all the surgery I've had, the skull movements.
Yeah.
As you can imagine, when I was 11, we estimated I had about 120 operations.
By the time you were 11?
When I was 11. We measured all my scars and like the times they'd been open, all the surgeries, and they were taller than my dad.
Fuck, mate.
The measurement.
Yeah.
So That was when I was 11, so it's going to be a lot more than that.
Yeah. But so by the time you were 11,
yeah,
and since then you've had
round about 120. When I was 11, probably double that, if not more.
Fuck me.
Even just procedures and things.
And even when they go and have a look and
but with this, with the movements of the movement of the bones in the skull, it fucks your skull up.
Weakens it.
Yeah, with my the amount of crevices that were in my forehead.
Mm.
When they went in to do my cheekbones.
Right.
But didn't have any.
Fuck me.
So I've got titanium in there.
Yeah.
To give me cheekbones.
Really?
But in
so they rebuilt your head.
But in the forehead, they were like, "Yeah, we'll help smooth it out." So I basically got a medical version of polyfiller in my forehead to spackle.
Yeah.
To smooth it out.
What, underneath the skin?
Underneath the skin.
Yeah.
Yeah. Just.
And then they put the skin back over the top.
They even fucked that up.
What, the skin?
The putting that in.
Really?
Yeah, I came back onto the ward and I had a bubble, a swollen bubble on my forehead.
Ah, they didn't, smooth it out properly.
No, it wasn't that, it was hollow.
Oh, shit. Oh, I see. So, I thought it was like when you put your wallpaper up.
Yeah, no,
You smoothed it out.
So they didn't, I don't, they were just like, oh.
Fuck, so you go back in.
Yeah, that's what they said.
It's not a medical term, yeah. You got your.
So they did that.
11, seven years at medical with school.
What they do is they go in through the, to do anything in my face,
right.
They go in through the scar that I got from ear to ear.
Right.
And just.
Well, open you
peel,
up.
Peel my face forward.
Like a satsuma.
Love it. I love talking about this.
You do, right? Didn't you?
Yeah.
I suppose it's the only way if you say you cope with it by.
Yeah. I mean, I have to. Yeah.
So what about arthritis? Is that a problem? Do you think that is that going to?
They said that because of all the surgery I've had,
yeah,
all the operations, they said that I would be prone to something arthritis wise,
yeah,
a lot earlier in life.
Right.
And I mean, there's so many things under the family of arthritis.
Yeah, now. Yeah, yeah.
Like fibromyalgia and things like that. Mm. So, yeah, it could be anything. My GP just said, well, if we diagnose you with anything, we just give you a load of drugs. So here's the drugs.
What?
Yeah, pretty much.
Just gave you a load of drugs?
Yeah, because they were going to do that anyway if I was diagnosed with anything. So they were just like, well, they'll just give you the drugs. Right. So I was like, all right.
So you're taking stuff now?
Yeah.
Yeah.
But as well, with the amount of surgeries I've had,
yeah,
I've scared so many specialists,
right,
in my life.
Yeah.
That, like, they're just, they have been worried that I would become immune to, like, drugs, so, or anesthetic,
yeah, right,
or
yeah,
things like that.
I suppose because you've having so much, your body just goes.
Yeah.
Right.
But another person I'm scared, talking about ear, nose and throat clinic, I got lots of nasal problems with the skull.
Because they had to build you a nose.
So I've got constantly swollen sinuses.
Okay.
They're prone to infection. I think I've got a hole in one or both.
Wow.
Or whatever. And so I'm prone to infections.
There's any steps you have to take? Do you sort of?
I do nasal.
The nasal spray.
Nasal sprays.
Yeah.
I try and get Orbisoil or whatever and
snort it
and stuff. What the ENT specialist had to do, I'd never met him at this time, was he had to go in to the nose and snip, basically a little pair of scissors and snip something.
In your nose?
In my nose. I can't remember what it was, but he went in, and as you know, my body's fucked. Things are in the wrong places. So he went up, snipped this thing that he meant to snip.
Right.
And it turns out the thing that he meant to snip wasn't in the place that he meant that it was meant to be.
So he snipped something else?
So he snipped something else. And that thing was an artery.
And he snipped an artery in your head.
And this is a professional.
Yeah. But because things were all in a different place, he thought he was slipping
on it. Because I'm complicated.
Yeah.
So he went up and he snipped it and I bled out pretty much. I had it, all the orifices in my head were getting the blood out.
Mm.
So I was crying, blood.
Yeah.
I was blood out my nose, blood out my mouth, blood out my ears. It was fucking great,
man.
It was lovely.
But they managed to.
So what they did, he was obviously shitting himself.
Yeah, of course he was.
I'd love it if he actually did shit himself. That'd be great.
I think the last thing you'd want in a room where you're
I'm on the word.
Is adding shit to it.
But so he was like, we didn't have any blood to give you, so we had to do an emergency and get some. So they bagged my nose up with like pumps and stuff. And the next thing I know, I wake up and I'm like, what? And I'm getting turned over every half an hour because my pillow's covered in blood. It looks like I've been massacred.
So you fucking love it, didn't you?
I love these images. So one day I woke up and Mum was chatting to somebody and I went, so Mother, have you met this surgeon yet? And she went, yeah, he stood right next to me. And I went, thanks. And he went, sorry. I didn't mean for this to happen. I was like, it's all right.
Well, I tell you what, you're one of the most incredible people I've ever met. You've had so much shit go on.
That's the least.
What do you mean the least?
There's more I could say.
Well, fucking say it.
All right, if you want.
You don't have to. You know, I don't want to. You can say whatever you want to say.
I mean,
you've told us some incredible stories, and then you go, well, that's not the half of it.
Basically, what? Bladder problems.
Yeah.
I got a neuropathic bladder.
What's which that? Is
basically, the nerves in the bladder are just pointless.
So it doesn't know when you're full or when you need a piss.
So I just get up and go. I used to.
You're fairly aware.
I'm going to be honest now. I don't tell many people this, but I'll say it because I'm not embarrassed by it.
Cool.
I used to wear pads.
Oh, okay.
To catch my dribbles.
Yes.
And catheterize. To empty the bladder, well, I couldn't empty myself.
You didn't do that yourself, though, did you?
I did near the end of it.
Well, you'd had it so many times, you knew how to do it.
Yeah,
because you have to put it in. You have to pump water into the.
It's basically just a long tube, and you just
but there's a balloon at the end of it to stop it coming out.
And they used to have to stick liquids up my bladder, but that was. Ooh, painful.
Yeah.
I had some hot nurses that have to do that for me. So that was fine.
Fuck's sake, man. I remember I was working in an old people's home, and I remember one of the old fellas.
You were the hot nurse.
I was, yeah. I was only 21. One of the older fellas, he dreamt that he had something in him and yanked his catheter out.
What was this thing? Was it you?
He just, fuck off. Is this a... Listen, I wasn't molesting the patients, you dirty fucker.
He dreamt he had someone in him.
He dreamt he had something in him. And then I went in there in the morning and there was blood everywhere because he'd yanked it out.
It might have been something.
This episode's going to have to be X-rated, mate. We're going to have to put a warning, not for the squeamish.
It might have been just something of yours, like a finger.
It was back in the day when certain things I did have to do, but I was always under supervision. I just walk into someone's room and whack a digit in them.
I'm so glad this is going to be X-rated.
There was some fucking shit I had to do. But don't do it now. It would be ridiculous. But
there was literally shit.
Yeah. Well, I've seen some stuff.
But yeah, I've got...
So you've got... So that was... So your bladder...
Bladder.
Right.
And then eventually, as I matured, I just went, you know what? I don't want to wear these pads. I don't want to capitalize. I want to deal with it.
Mm.
And I dealt with it.
So you just, yeah, at a certain time, you go, oh, I better
yeah,
go.
Yeah, I don't know how old I was, but I was just like, you know what? I don't want to.
No.
I don't want to walk around.
Fuck me. So you've got to drink water because your vocal cords aren't yeah. there and your throat dries out, yeah. but your bladder can't tell you when it's full.
Pretty much, yeah. I've got a small bladder, yeah.
Fucking hell.
And also, I...
So you drink litres of water and you've got a small bladder?
From the backside,
uh-huh.
to cut a long story short, I basically had a new arsehole built.
Oh, my God! What?
And the,
how can you build an arsehole?
It's called an anoplasty. Anoplasty, or whatever.
They had to build you an arsehole.
I remember the surgeon's name. She was awesome. Mrs. Noblet.
Mrs. Noblet built you an arsehole.
I used to call her Mrs. Omelette.
Yeah.
Still do, actually.
Daryl, mate, how old were you when they had to build you an arsehole?
I think I was a baby. I think I was literally...
So as far back as then?
So they did that and I was literally led their ass in the air.
And they built you an arsehole?
And yeah, she had to... I haven't really looked into it much, but...
But it hasn't caused you any problems. You can still... Mind you, have you got... So have you got feeling in your backside?
Yeah.
Is that why you keep putting things up there then? Dirty.
I do.
Do you? Testing it.
Yeah.
Filthmonger. Absolutely.
But yeah, I am. But yeah, I.
So they've had to rebuild you completely?
Pretty much.
So when you were born, it was empty.
I had something. It was just wrong.
Right. Okay.
So they had
it
to. Like,
I wasn't round the wrong way, was it?
I'm not actually sure, to be fair, because
no.
I was a baby, so
yeah.
I don't think I could go to the toilet properly.
Oh.
So they had to.
You had a hole there.
Like do it for me, yeah.
But you didn't have any muscles to.
I imagine, yeah.
Okay.
I'll look into it and send you an email.
You're gonna look into your asshole.
Yeah, I'll look into my asshole with that camera that is shoved. Oh yeah. Oh my God, I've got no asshole. I shouldn't be shitting.
So they've had. You have to. Oh God. So you've had your lower regions all rebuilt. You've had your head rebuilt. Anything else, Darren?
Oh, this also, is, obviously, you've seen my eyes, yeah?
Yes.
Obviously, they're not as bad as they were.
No.
Because obviously, I've got the cheekbones now. And
yeah.
Little, sorry. Obviously, I've got the titanium.
Oh, is, mate, which brag,
is brag, brag. Which is the cheekbones.
Yes.
One's a bit. Better than the other. Mm. I can actually feel the titanium is great.
Yeah. Really?
Yeah. Oh, there you go.
No.
It's just...
Oh, yeah.
It's a titanium plate, isn't it?
Fuck me. Oh, yeah. I've never felt that
later.
Before. Later. Not in a bum holder.
yeah.
Right.
Do it mine.
That's what I'm saying. I'm not...
I don't know
I'm not putting
one.
My knob in your Airfix arsehole.
I like that.
You can have that.
Back in Meccano. All right, yeah, they were worried that with my eyes being so fucking googly, they were worried that they wouldn't stay in my head.
What? So not what? They just why? Because you've got no muscles to keep them in.
Because they're just protruding.
But they're attached, aren't they?
Obviously. They're attached. Yeah.
But there was no. But your eye socket.
I can see you. Yeah.
But they had to sort of rebuild your sockets.
Yeah.
In order to keep they had them in. To,
it's all the, that's all the craniofacial stuff. So they've got to build the, they've got to bring, oh, also.
What do you mean also, Daryl?
Saying about the, my top jaw was, I had an underbite. So the bottom jaw was.
Smaller than the.
Was farther out.
Oh, than, further out.
Farther out than the top jaw.
Okay.
And this is part of the rebuild.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
So what they did was, obviously I had braces, which was a...
Fucking hell. So on top of all that, you had to have braces on your teeth.
And then they had, but not just that.
Did you have the headgear as well?
I had the red frame.
Yeah.
Which was attached to my skull. And
and
the wires in my top jaw.
Was it all screwed in?
All literally, they turned... the screws like half a millimeter every day. So as they turn the screw, it brings the top jaw forward.
Right.
And they did that every day over 9 weeks.
To bring your jaw in line.
Yeah. Valentine's Day before my 18th birthday was when I had that taken off. And so that, so I had the red frame, my jaw, top jaw brought forward. So now I've got an overbite, which is property. And they had to go in and do things from the inside and fuck my mouth about.
Fucking hell, Beryl. So, fuck. So with all that.
But again, that's a list.
So top to bottom, you've been built.
Literally, top to bottom. literally. But yeah, Mrs. Noblet.
And then, I suppose, so all the drugs and that you're on as well, or been on and have been, again, that's obviously going to fuck, that's going to fuck
jokingly, you. I jokingly say that I'm pretty sure all the drugs that I've been on in the past are still doing something.
Yeah.
But I'm pretty sure I'm immune to a lot of it.
And then when you have your moments when you're a bit
pain threshold as well. Pain threshold is pretty cool.
But you've got one, have you?
I have, from a mental point of view, I can deal with physical pain a lot better because I'm used to it than mental pain.
Yeah.
Seeing other people that I love and care about.
Right.
I've in hospital.
That really fucks
you up. Which unfortunately I have to do.
And do you feel that
close family and stuff?
Do you feel that it affects you more because of what you've been through? So you see someone else, but you know.
Yeah, even people that I don't know.
Because it's intrusive as well, isn't it?
I would literally rather have all the things that they've got wrong with them, give it to me, and I would.
You would deal with it.
So I would deal with it.
That is amazing.
They wouldn't. Because they'd be the ones looking over me. But from my point of view, I could...
You'd take it from them?
Yeah, I mean, I so would.
Yeah. It's amazing, man. And you've got you've got people around you, friends, family, you've got a nice support unit.
Yeah, I've got, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And now you've got comedy and...
Yeah, modelling.
Yeah, modelling.
Get naked.
I've seen it, Daryl. I saw it. Yeah, I couldn't. I went in my wank bank.
Yeah. What, the drawings or the real pictures?
The real pictures, of course. Oh, weird. Yeah. What's wrong with you?
I can see you and your missus at home.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Looking at it.
She's telling me to get dressed up like you. I mean, fuck's sake, man.
Imagine you want to stick it in one of my holes, wherever that is in my head.
Just put it anywhere.
I got two holes in my head, two more holes in my head.
Yeah, but
with the pressure on the head.
Oh, fucking hell!
With the pressure on the head, I've got basically windows in the side of my head. So what they do is they just take the bone out,
and then they'll look inside.
So that when I do get pressure on the head,
they can see.
They inflate a bit.
What?
So when I said
I see. So they go in through the windows in your head.
Yeah.
So I can't believe I just said the sentence, the windows in your head.
So when I said that you could stick it in any orifice of mine.
Stick it in the windows in your head. Your fuck windows.
Yeah.
Windows. Now, I'm not putting anything in your fucking head.
To be fair.
Playing your arsehole, either. What am I talking about?
To be fair, dude.
Yeah, go on.
You might not have a choice.
Oh, fucking hell. You're going to make me fuck your head. I don't know if this could. This episode.
It's like
people, this is going to have to come with such a big.
It's like people say.
Parental guidance thing.
It's like photographers that say, oh, I want to take your picture, but not naked. And I say, you might not have a choice.
Yeah, right. You're going to get naked anyway.
Maybe, yeah. With permission, obviously.
Yeah. But you're all right. Like, I know that's a fucking stupid question.
I'm so glad this is going to be so X-rated.
It's going to be so X-rated. I don't know how I'm going to have to... I've got producer Paul that he edits all this.
I like that I've made it awkward for you.
I genuinely thought, right? Because when you said coming on the podcast,
this
I'm like,
is be so,
fucking
so...
right. I was like, fucking right, you're coming on. I want to find out. I want to know your story.
This is going to be such a story.
I'm speechless. I speak for a living, and I don't know what to say to you.
Ignore your producer and just.
Hey, listen, producer Paul, if you're listening to this,
yeah,
mate, good luck. Good fucking luck editing this.
Yeah. Ignore your producer and...
Airfix arsehole has got to stay in, though.
Just hide it somewhere.
No, this is going out,
man. Put it on Pornhub or something.
With a picture of one of your drawings.
I'd listen to it.
Mate, this is going out. You know that, didn't you?
Good.
Yeah.
Good.
You fucking rotter.
This is the best podcast ever.
Yeah, fucking is, it. Mate. Oh, Daryl, man. This has been fucking great. Daryl, thanks, man.
All right, dude.
Love you.
Thank you very much.
Thanks, mate.
Bye.
Insane in the membrane. So there you go. I did warn you all that wasn't for the squeamish, didn't I? I mean, poor old Daryl, he really has been through it. I mean, he's been turned inside out since the day he was born. He really has gone through it. Yet here he is, still live and kicking, and he's a funny boy, he's a lovely man. You know, he's a mate, and I love having him around. What a dude. Next time, we're live in Southend, guest starring my good friend Mr. Bobby Mair. It's not too late to buy a ticket and join us. Unless, of course, it is, you know. If you can get a ticket, I'm sure they're still available. They might be, they might not. I hope not, because, you know, let's sell this out. So, yeah, tickets are only a fiver. Click the link on the episode description for this show. Thanks to Zenon Gaku for the music and Jade Adams for, once again, the inspiration and the roast dinner she's preparing me right this minute. I know. What a time to be alive. Don't worry, we've not gone back to the dark ages. She chose to make the dinner. I'm not making her do it. Everyone... I told you to shut up, lady!
It's all a lie!
Producer is Paul Daniels at darkhorsedigital.co.uk, and I have once again been Mr. Rich Wilson. Till next time, look after yourselves, look after each other. See you later. Bye-bye.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Made by darkhorsedigital.co.uk. Shooting, live streaming, and podcast production.